Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
All the socials. Newsletter Wigs. Oh my goodness, Alex, he's doing a great job. You should check out that newsletter. It's been going on every single day. To subscribe to one of the stations, Odyssey Station, still in the postseason, their newsletter, and you'll be getting the Baseballs and Boring newsletter. Courtney Finnegan has another great podcast coming up. There's so many people. Alonzo, West Coast Bias, he's ready to jump on the Dodgers Express. All of it. Appreciate all of it, everybody, every single person. I really do. And I appreciate everybody who's been coming on. Everybody who comes on brings a smile to my face. Every interview that I've done, got a chance to meet so many new people, so many new players, so many different executives, managers, coaches, everybody. It's just an awesome time. And so when I watch these games and I soak in these games, these postseason games, you get a chance to look back at things and look at things like, for instance, talking to David Popkins of the Toronto Blue Jays hitting coach just a couple of weeks ago about why they're able to connect with a baseball. I mean, put the ball in play, which I've been yelling and screaming, saying this is what wins in the postseason. Why were the Blue Jays always able to do that in the postseason? Well, I get a chance to meet this guy with an awesome Bruce Lee tattoo. And he explained it. So when I watched in the game, there it is. I'm kind of looking through his eyes and what he said. I'm looking through the eyes of Jeff Hoffman closing out the game against the Yankees. And how many times have we talked to Jeff about so many different things, including what it's like to pitch in the postseason? It's just so many people down the list. And it's not only the people in the postseason who offer insight and offer information and offer entertainment and just offer honesty on the Baseballs and Boring podcast and the Baseballs and Boring family. It's people who have we met all along the way in the right who aren't in the postseason, who are in the regular season, who are just living different facets of life in baseball. And one of those people who just left his post as the bench coach of the New York Mets, that's John Gibbons. And Gibby, I've known Gibby for a long, long time. And I've seen him, you know, as a coach. I've seen him as a manager. Manager went to the ALCS two different times for the Toronto Blue Jays. We talk a little bit about that. a guy who also has now, in the last 2 years, been alongside Carlos Mendoza for some pretty good Mets teams. But the Mets team, this latest Mets team, that sort of fell apart in the second half of the year. And that led to, as he said, a purge of coaches. Purging of coaches for the Mets. And John Gibbons was one of them. Now John is looking, Gibby's looking for his next opportunity, wherever that may be. All I know is that he's one of the most real ones in baseball, one of the most absolute most real ones in baseball. So that's why I knew when I talked to him for this podcast, he was going to give the what's what with no holding back in terms of exactly how he viewed what went down with the Mets, whether it's the Mets good, the bad, and then obviously the end with him deciding to leave his post as bench coach for the Mets. We also get into his life as a manager, of what it's like to be in the ALCS for the Blue Jays as a manager, and that whole scene up in Toronto. That's pretty good. We just do a lot about what his future holds. I mean, a lot of people are talking about potential position maybe with the Atlanta Braves. Remember Alex Anthopoulos, another friend of the program, Alex Anthopoulos, who runs the show with the Braves. He also was a GM when Gibby was up in Toronto. But there's a lot of stuff, and the great thing is that Gibby, when he talked to Gibby, it's not like he know he isn't hiding anything. You know, he's just sitting back in his recliner, and he's just talking baseball and being honest all about it. All right, well, I feel very, very honored, very, very privileged to talk to Gibby once again, as I always do. I feel honored and privileged to do this podcast. At BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. All right, here you go. Here's John Gibbons. There is no human being on the entire planet, in the entire galaxy, I would rather be talking to more than John Gibbons. Fact. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, always.
Robbie, man, it's a pleasure, man. You're one of my favorites, too. You know what? I love your show. We've done this before. You know what? It's all genuine, man. You can't beat it.
No, it's good. It's just two guys sitting back talking. We've been sitting back talking ever since you were, with the Blue Jays. Ever since you were first base coach for the 2003 Blue Jays.
Exactly. And thank God for my grandmother, man, that introduced me to you. Started it all.
It will go down. I can confirm, Gibby, that I have not had any other baseball coach have their grandmother call me asking me to promote their grandson for a job. By the way, you know how long ago that was? It was on my home line. I can't remember the last time I used my home line.
Oh gosh, that's she was my agent, but obviously it didn't work out too well.
I think it worked out pretty well. All right, hey, listen, congratulations on everything. Before we just get into just talking about whatever, I do want to just kind of touch base about where you're at, your decision. You know, how that went down with the Mets, all of that. So the floor is yours. What happened at the end?
Well, to start with, that was quite a purge there in New York, wasn't it? New York City? Gosh, for coaches to everybody, you know, I don't think anybody ever thought until that last game was finished that we wouldn't get in, right? But that's the reality of it. And when you have a meltdown like we did, you know, there's going to be changes. Did anybody expect probably that many? No, I think that's probably the shocking part. But, you know, that's the way the game goes, and you deal with it. For myself personally, you know, I've been thinking the last couple months, it may be time for me to move on. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it there. And I still want to stay in the game. I don't know what capacity I'll be at. But, you know, so when I told him when the season was over, I might have been part of that purge anyway. But, you know, I just let him know, hey, I'm not coming back. And I made the statement to some reporter, there's probably time for some new blood in that role there. And there's some good ones, and they'll end up being in good shape because there's a lot of talent on that team. But, and this is a big but, you know, the major leagues is full of talent. You know, there's been many a team in the history of the game that are very talented and don't go anywhere. For some reason, don't reach what their expectations. And that's just part of it. So if everybody, you could throw all the money you want, bring in whoever you want. There's no guarantees in this business. Sometimes you get outplayed. Sometimes things just go south for whatever reason. That's just baseball. That's the beauty of baseball.
Frank Howard, most cannons,
That's
right?
right. Now we had some cannons, but I think I don't know. I don't know what happened. We must have maybe we overslept the morning.
You
Of
ran out of gunpowder.
the maybe yeah, the morning of the battle, we're going, uh-oh.
So Gibby, you're right though. But to go back to sort of the coaches and the construct of the team and everything, it fell apart at the end, but to get to that point, like it seemed like a pretty good dynamic. In other words, if you go back to like if you had this conversation in July, I said, hey, listen, all systems are firing. We get a good coaching staff, we get a good team and everything else, and then all of a sudden you have to do it, take an enema to the whole thing.
Well, you know, I mean, we could sit down. Anybody like me and you that's been in the game for any length of time or is paying attention, it always knows that pitching and defense win championships, you know? And you have to pitch number one. If you don't have, and then you know what? You got to catch the ball to make it a little easier on those guys. And that's kind of where things went south for us. And early on, you know, our pitching was solid. Then we had some injuries, and then we started struggling, and then. You know, at the final month, we had trouble catching the ball. So, I mean, that's not a good recipe. You know, everybody has injuries. There's no question about it. But you're going to find out most of the teams that had injuries and struggled on their pitching staff don't get into the postseason. That's just the way it is. There's no excuse. That's just the reality of it. So, you know, you shouldn't think otherwise, right? And then even if you get in, you know, you're probably in trouble anyway if you don't have enough pitching to get you know, get you deep into the playoffs to begin with. You know, especially nowadays, the way the games are run with the starters going. God, you're lucky if you get a starter goes three innings for crying out loud. And you know what? It's the game's changed. Put it that way.
Well, let me ask you this. So you run out of pitching and then you get the young pitchers. Like you get McLain, you get, Tong, you get Sproat, you get these guys. And now some people are like, all right, this could work because of these young pitchers. Did you guys feel like, okay, maybe, or this could work, or this is a lot to put on these young pitchers to be the top three guys in a playoff run? What was that feeling like?
You know, Rob, all three of those statements right there. You know, they came up at the end. You know, but our slide started happening. You know, the middle of June, end of June, what have you. And but we thought, you know, these guys are going to give a shot in the arm. And you know, they all three of them pitched really good. You know, McLain, I mean, he's gonna be really, really good. And you know, he'll be in that near the top of that rotation. You know, starting next year. You know, as for Sproat and Tong, man, the sky's the limit with these guys too. So, but we said, okay, maybe they'll give us a boost like they did, but you never know, is it going to be enough, right? And so it's a lot of pressure you're putting on these kids. And we didn't get in, but I tell you, the future's bright there. There's no question with these three kids. But you know, it's just sometimes, you know what? I can remember saying to some of the other coaches, I said, I hope we don't go down that final weekend down in Miami and having to win there to, you know, to get in, because they've been a nemesis for us, you know, all the last couple of years. And then you can go back historically to the Mets. They've always been a thorn in the Mets side. So even when we went down there, it's like, dang, you know, because they've always had good arms, you know. And you wonder at the end of the season if they're ready to shut it down. They weren't by any means. And they took it to us, bottom line. So that's it. Move on.
Well, you said a couple months out you were thinking about, okay, maybe it's time to move on. Why? Like, what was the, were you just sort of, I've done whatever I can do here, or maybe it was just, I want to do something else, or what, like, why did you feel that way?
No, it was just the grind of the game, you know. You know, I'm not old. I'm old. Well, I can't say that I'm not old. I'm not old,
You're
old, but
not
I'm
old,
getting
man.
older.
Like, you're not old.
No.
Listen, I put it this way. If there was a bench clearing brawl, I would want you as my coach slash manager. Like, yeah,
If I could get out there on time.
it's all right. You make them come to you.
Yeah, Robert, but like I said, I loved it there. You know, Mendy's the best. You know, he took good care of me. We had a good thing going, and you know, they gave me an opportunity to come back. and him and Stearns and everybody involved with that. So, I thoroughly enjoyed that. But like I said too, the way the game's changed, the heavy analytics on everything. That was part of the reasoning too, that you get some guy that's a little more in tune with that, some younger whiz kid, but then that everything kind of fell in place here at the end anyway. And like I said, I told him I wasn't going to be coming back, but I probably would have been part of the purge anyway.
Well, you talk about the purge, like why is that? Like it's again, it seems to me like from a million miles away that yeah, you had a bad run, but the bad run was, as you said, pitching and defense. I don't think it's a mystery. Like it's that was the impetus for the bad run. But why is that? Why was this purge? Was it just, hey, we want to figure out the analytics side more. We want to have to, what, why do you think this was the case?
Rob, none of that. I mean, it's a good balance there, there's some very smart guys in the analytics department giving great info, but yet, we always had the freedom, to run it the way we wanted, which is, I think, the only way you can do it. It's just one of those things. It's like, who knows the Red Sox better than you? Nobody. The big cities, Boston, New York's, just kind of the way it happened. The slow drip, I guess you could call it, to the end. And then the focus is on it, and then everybody and the brother, in the big media towns like that, it's like this is like the worst thing, since the plague, so something's got to happen. That's just the way it is, and rightfully so. There's no question some changes need to be made. So that's, that's the big part of it. And, but you deal with it. You know, when you get these jobs or involved in this profession, that's going to happen sooner or later. Even like play, even if you're a player, right? The way the guys come and go, they're sent down, up and down, all the outrighted, DFA'd, all that. That's just the nature of the beast. These guys will come up, right? And they'll come up for a game and then, to fill a spot. And it's always funny. I used to say to some of the other coaches, when the manager asks you, hey, can you give us one more? That guy knows he's gone after the game. So it's like a slow death march out there for that second or third inning because he knows he's gone because you got to replace him next, the next day. So that's just kind of the way the game works.
All right. One of the biggest mysteries in baseball is what your uniform number is. What's your uniform number?
I think it was 68. I don't even know. No, yeah. Hey, Robbie, yeah. I've had so many numbers. The whole idea behind it, I don't wear my uniform top because it when I tuck it in, my gut looks a little bigger than I want it.
But you were ahead of the curve with that. Yeah, but you were ahead, like every that's you were well ahead of the curve with that.
Robbie, I'm always ahead of the curve.
I know you are. All right,
but not everybody realizes that.
This is why I'm gonna like scream from the mountaintops right now. Let's assume your number is 68. I'm gonna look it up, but this is gonna be Operation 6826. So Operation 68 in 2026, John Gibbons. There's a lot of managerial openings out there. Let's go. And so this is what the first question I want to ask you to say, hey, everybody, this is why you should consider Operation 6826 is because in these 2 years, two seasons with the Mets, you already had a resume piled up already. But look at what you learned. Look at what you did. Look at what you enacted. What are some of the things in the last 2 years that sort of stuck with you that you can take forward? So when you do get that managing job, which I know is going to be coming right around the corner.
Well, you do? Are you a prophet now or what?
Listen, when I put my mind to something, it's consider it done.
Nah, Robbie, what? Like I said earlier, the game's changed, but it's still the game, right? You still got to do, you can go back 100 years and you still got to catch the ball. You got to throw the ball. You got to hit it. And the teams that do that better than the others, win, when you play that many games. But there's so much more info out there, and a lot of it's good, but I think sometimes it's overkill. There's overkill also. So I think you just got to, you got to keep all that in mind. I think the part that's really beneficial, when you know, the pitcher's projection against certain, you know, certain hitters and what have you. Because now the rules have changed, and every reliever, let's say, he's got to face three guys, right? Mm-hmm. Gives you a little, you know, so it's not like you could, you know, you could burn a couple guys through two hitters, you know, in the old days. You bring in that one lefty, you know, your left-handed specialist to get the lefty, and then you bring a righty in, which I wish they had not changed, but that's the way it is. So it kind of helps you give you a better idea what is projected and all that. But but you also got to keep in mind, it may say that this Joe Blow here in the bullpen is best against this group, these two or three guys, what have you. But, you know, Joe Blow may not be throwing very good right now. Oh, so you know what?
Yeah.
So sometimes I think where we go wrong in this game is the fact that it says that you keep using this guy. Because the game's always been, you know, I think it's streaky. So when guys are confident, they're good. And you could take anybody that maybe that's in a confident point in their season, and you can get them to get anybody out. But so, yeah, I think you still have to have common sense and instincts. But there's a lot of good info out there. But still the same game, man. And when you play it right and trust your guys, you know, if you have enough talent, you're probably going to come out all right.
Cannons. I should have asked you before I launched Operation 6826. Do you want to manage? Would you like to do that?
You know, Robbie, I'm open to anything. You know what? You know, I did have my chance. You know, the guys up in Toronto, they're very good to me. You know, JP Ricciardi and Alex Anthopoulos. You know, I was up there twice, and so you know, I haven't done it again since then. You know, so maybe that's an indication that, you know, who knows.
But you're on the radar, but this is the thing. I know you've interviewed, and you're on the radar, and now this is like, of all the experience, this is a unique organization to be part of. Like, I'm singing your praises, but it's a unique, you have, in the last 2 years, of all the stuff that you did, another thing that you could say is like, I was in this enormous market team, in this world of new age of analytics, we had success, all of that. That's a great, great addition to your resume. That's what I'm saying anyway. I feel.
Well, put it this way, Robbie, when you get that GM job for whatever team, you give me a call.
Oh, I'm the puppet master behind. Let me ask.
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of What, is there a, one of the good things is, like, you're such a great people person. And so is there a player you were with the Mets where you said that you really valued the relationship, the mentorship that you were able to give them? Maybe there wasn't, because there were so many, but you don't want to single anyone out. But was there one that jumps to mind?
You know what? As far as mentorship, I don't know about that. You know, we had a pretty veteran team, you know, but I tell you, you know, a couple of my favorites, you know, Lindor, I'd seen Francisco from afar. I didn't know him, but it was awesome to watch him go out there every day, I told him one day too, cause I had Jose Reyes, another ex-Met, when I was up in Toronto. I said, two switch hitters, you know, a lot of similarities, you know? And, I said, you know, one thing, you and Jose, every day you show up with a smile on your face, you're out there working at something. And, you know, Reyes was at the end, obviously. But I said, you know what? As a baseball coach, you know, we really appreciate that, man. Because, you know, you don't ride the ups and downs and the emotional roller coaster. You understand what's expected of you. And you just go out there and do it. And the fans come to see you play. So you entertain them, you know. And then, you know, a couple of our catchers, Luis Torrens and Alvarez, you know, being an ex-catcher, you know, I didn't work with them directly, but I was around them a lot, you know, two other of my favorites. And it's kind of funny. My job, when I used to stay at the, nobody could believe it, but there's a Marriott hotel right across from LaGuardia. And that was my home the last 2 years when we were, you know, in New York. And then, so, cause I didn't want to drive around that place, you know, like I said, 5 minutes to the park. But anytime these like young guns would come up, you know, they would be staying there too. So I was like their chauffeur. So last year it was Christian Scott, who did a heck of a job for us. And then he had Tommy John. And this year, you know, it was McLean and O'Tong and those guys in it. So I was their chauffeur.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, all right.
And so I don't, you know, hopefully I shed a little, I didn't complain to him too much, but it was fun.
Who controlled the music? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I don't know if we played any. You know, it was
You talked the great game of baseball.
Well, McLean, I think he's an Arkansas boy. Or is he North Carolina? So he's a Southern boy. Yeah, if anything, I guarantee you, I control it, man. I'm at that stage of my life, and it was country, if anything. You know.
Hey, let me ask you about because a lot of people are going to be asking me about him, so I want to get your take on him. Is Pete Alonso what's your take on Pete? Obviously, you came back. Obviously, he's probably going to be a free agent again this time around. To me, one of the most underrated stats, Gibby, is games played for a position player. I think it's first of all, you got to be available. And also, if you're playing a lot of games, that means that you're relied on to play a lot of games. That means you're good to be relied on to play a lot of games. And he's played, I think, back-to-back 162, which is kind of crazy. What's your take on Pete?
But hey, it's really crazy when in this day and age where they call it load management.
Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs start that a few years ago or something. And anyway, you know, the one thing about baseball – it used to be pride. You know, these guys would try to all play 162 games. You know, you go back and that's how you had these big years, you know. But you know, the game kind of switched where maybe he'd need some time off and all that. Well, if he's banged up, you give him some time off. But there's something in that mindset, the guys that try to do that, you know, and nobody's better than Pete at that. You know, I mentioned Lindor a minute ago. He showed up every day. But Pete's the same guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows that's what's expected of him. And, you know, so he does it. He goes out, he works hard every day, comes out for the early hit and does everything. He's really a model guy for a teammate and a guy you want on your team. You know, and of course, and he's got an opt out and he had a big year this year. So, that's, I think, kind of the mystery. I think everybody knows what went wrong with this team this year, you know, because we had a bunch of gamers and we had some guys that had big years. It just wasn't enough to get in for whatever reason, right? It's one of those things nobody will ever figure it out. It's like a lot of things in baseball, you know, year after year. You can't figure it out, so stop trying sometimes, right? You know,
look at these postseason teams, these teams that have had these unbelievable years, and then in the blink of an eye, it's going to end. But to stay on Pete real quick about that position, I think that the value of having someone like that, where you know, guy, okay, there's a potential of this guy coming up in the order who's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark while you have all this other stuff going on. Like, to me, and I know that a lot of people would say, oh, well, first base, you can find other guys to play first base. To have that guy, I think it's so important, right?
Correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You know, your corner guys got to be big, powerful guys that drive in runs, you know? And, you know, Pete, you know, he's more than just a slugger. You know, you look at his stats. You know, I mean, he's a pretty good hitter, man. He's not afraid to hit the ball the other way. He'll take his singles when he needs them, and he'll drive the ball out of the park to right center. You know, so he's not just a guy up there swinging and missing. Yeah, he's going to strike out a lot. That's the nature of today's game, and he's a power hitter. But you know, he gives you a tough at bat every time he's up there. You know, and you know, he's a pretty special guy. You know, he's earned everything he's ever gotten, and he's going to continue that. And he put himself in a good position. You know, and I don't know what's going to happen there as far as him bringing him back or not, but. You know, he'll end up somewhere, and he's gonna, you know what, he's gonna hit a lot of home runs again somewhere, and he's gonna help somebody win.
But what's weird is, like, you mentioned Pete, you mentioned Lindor. It seems like, and you obviously Nimmo, it seemed like you had, I mean, you looked at how you build a clubhouse mentality, veterans. That seems like a pretty good one, like, right?
Oh yeah, it was. You know, everybody's looking for, what went wrong? Was it bad clubhouse? You know, no, it wasn't. I think it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Pitching and defense, right? Cost us in the end. All it took was one more win somehow to get in there, you know. But that just shows you once again that those teams that pitch and play some defense, you know what? That's how you win in this game when you play that many games. You know, there's never. You can look at any sport in the world that wins championships, and I guarantee you they have pretty good defense, and they have some key, like in baseball, happens to be pitching. You know, it's a must.
Let me ask you this: you managed in the postseason. What's that like? Like, how's that different?
Well, you know, everything's so revved up, you know, everything's under the microscope. It's such great intensity, you know. You know, you can't replicate that, you know, in a regular season game for 162 games, you know. The game's totally different now, though. I mean, it's like, gosh, you go in there, you know, and you hope, it seems to be every team's hoping their starter goes three innings. It's like, what the heck?
I should have looked this up. When you guys made the run in 2015, 2016, which, by the way, great runs by you. Congratulations. You know.
I appreciate that. Tough, a little bit different. Seemed like American League East back then, too. You know, your powerhouses were the Yankees and Red Sox. You know, because most of the time, if you're another team in that division, you were out of it by the middle of June, you know. And so finally we got over the hump. But, you know, we had some good players, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good players are a must also go along with that pitching and defense.
But also good manager. But, I will ask you this, because you lived that life that a lot of people in Toronto, they haven't lived that life since then, right? They're living. I was up there a week or so ago, and you could feel people getting jacked up for it. Like, this is a lot different than it had been previous, whatever, 9-10 years. But I think that's an underrated fan base. I remember there's certain fan bases that are just super into it when they need to be super into it. And I would imagine that postseason run, you felt that, right?
Well, Rob, what happened? You know, my first go round up there, you know, I guess it had been like 22 years since the team, you know, they won it back years, 92 and 93. And so we'd always hear, you know, I mean, you know, and then, like I said earlier, that we were out of it by the end of June, so everything turned back to hockey. Even though hockey was still number one, you know, it really went back to it when we faded, you know. But I can remember everybody saying, hey, if you guys are relevant at the end of the year, you go into middle of August, and definitely September, watch what happens, right? But we never got there. And then I got fired the first time, and then when I came back the second time, you know, the first couple of years we didn't get there.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
But in 2015, when we finally did, like I said, it had been that long. It was amazing. Everything everybody said, you know, that not only did Toronto catch fire, you know, the fans, but the whole country. You know, and it was like, dang, that's what they were talking about, you know, and of course we got back in 16, so that means that everything stayed revved up, and then you know, eventually we faded, and they, you know, I was cut loose, and then they went through a rebuild, and then, you know, they got in a couple times with expanded playoffs, but it wasn't like it is this year, you know, even this year. You know, I tip my hat to these guys, man. You know, they got a bunch of hard-nosed gamer baseball players. You know, we saw them we opened the season with them at our home opener. You know, we swept them up there in New York. And, you know, it's the first week of the season, but, you know, I don't think anybody saw this coming. And they had some key acquisitions, some really, really hard-nosed guys. And one thing they could always do these last few years when they built that was a great starting rotation. Every night they could throw somebody out there that could beat you. But it all came together. They got that magic working. And you see it. Yeah, you see it like you were talking about, that like fire, that life is back. And it's not just Toronto.
They're pouring Molson all over their faces. It's awesome.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it is unbelievable. So it's everything everybody said it would be, and I finally got to experience it after, you know, so long.
Well, I'm going to take you back to October 14th, 2015. The clinching game in Toronto against Texas. Going to jog your memory. All right? So this is, do you remember who started that game for you?
Yeah, it was Stroman.
Oh, Stroman, all right. You know who came in after him? Now, he went six. He went six innings.
No way. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I know. 98 pitches. You let him go 98 pitches. What were you doing?
I know. Gosh, dog. And I can't believe he didn't get to 100.
So Stroman, then Aaron Sanchez came in after him, inning in a third. And then you close it out with Osuna.
Yeah.
But the thing about that game, Gibby, as you know, it was you were down 3-2 going the bottom of the seventh. And then you were up for four runs.
Yes. Well, you know what happened? Remember there was that crazy play where
yes.
Chu, you know, the Russell Marston ball back to the pitcher and it hits Chu's bat and Odor our enemy number one up there. You know, he scores on the play. And then all, you know, nobody really knew the rule. I couldn't remember seeing it. And you know, the Dale Scott, the home plate umpire, threw his hands up, dead ball. And so anyway, but then it was almost like the baseball gods, we had them on our side, because that when we made that big comeback, you know, they had you know, Texas Rangers was a good team, and they had, like, I think the three gold glovers on that infield, right? And then they just mistake after mistake. Next thing you know, you know, Batista comes through
Batista with a whole. Well, that was a bat flip, right? That was
the That was a bat flip, and that even caught. Remember that nobody could believe he was doing that, and then we had that big brawl the following year because of it.
Yeah.
Now it's like now guys flip the bats when they're behind 10-0 in a regular season game. It's got 10,000 people in the stands. It's like now everybody loves it. You know, remember the commish came out and said, "Let the boys play." Okay, yeah. Well, this is what you get.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember about that feeling? Because that was a winner-take-all game, right? That game?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you remember about that feeling? Like, because, again, this could happen. We don't know as we sit here. But, well, you know, in Toronto, to have that feeling in that ballpark, like, what do you remember about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll go back real quick because, you know, we dropped the first two at home.
Yeah.
And we lost Brett Cecil, who arguably was the top reliever in the game at that time. He's top two or three. You know, he blew his calf out covering first base. So we're kind of in a pinch. But anyway, we go down two games, nothing. So we're going down to Texas. And I can remember, you know, David Price came up to me and said, "Listen, when Cecil got hurt," he said, "I can pitch out of the bullpen for you." I said, and, you know, Price, I think he had 220 innings under his belt. He's a free agent. He ended up with you guys up there in Boston after the end of the season. And I couldn't believe it. I said, "That's, you know, that's really okay." So, you know, we ran it by the front office. Everybody was on board. So anyway, then we go down to Texas. But you know what, Rob? There was no down 2-0, you know, elimination time. I didn't sense anything different out of our guys, but that was kind of the beauty of that group, right? So we had our workout, everything was normal, and then we came back. And so Aaron Loop, also his wife was pregnant, and she had some complications, so he wasn't even available, right?
Oh.
So now we had no lefty in the pen, so thank God for David Price. So anyway, I think Estrada started that game, yeah, the third game, and we got to a point in the middle of the game where I think they got a little something going, so we got Price up in the bullpen. And then Estrada gets out of it. We score a couple more.
Yeah, you had Price in game four.
Right.
R.A. Dickey started.
Yeah, but before the night before that, you know, we get him up and then we get out of it and go on to win. And so he doesn't get in the game. So I saw him we had a day game the next day. So we're sitting in the clubhouse and I walked past him and I asked him how he's feeling. He said, "I'm good." And he said, I said, "Listen, if we get you up today, you're in the game." He said, "I appreciate that." I said, "No more, you know, the old dry humps, you know?"
Yeah.
So anyway, and on that, so Dickey starting that game, and they had some guys on that team that hit Dickey pretty good, you know, historically. You know, we get out to a nice little lead, but you're always in the back of your mind. One thing with a knuckleballer, you know, he can be rolling along. Next thing you know, man, it's like wham, you know. And then he could regain it, and the next couple innings, good. But when they give it up, they usually give it up pretty big, and he kind of, you know, proven that. So it gets to the point in the middle of the game, the crowd's out of it. You know, another elimination game, And they got started to get a little something going. And then they, you know, the top of their order was coming up, the guys that had always hit Dickey. So I said, you know, so I was analytics before analytics.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at this. Like,
yep, this third is, time
you,
through.
You were going to, you were back to the future. 4 2/3 for Dickey, pulls him after 78 pitches.
Yeah, exactly. See,
but you go to your guy, you go to David Price right after that. So there you go.
So I told him so, and I told Pete Walker, who's still the pitch coach there, I said, listen, get David going. And I said, he's going to be in. There's no more of that. You know, I promised him, and, you know, this guy's sitting on a huge contract, and he's, you know, there's no more of that, you know, jerking him around, you know. So he gets up, and then I think a couple guys got on, and then so we bring him in, and I can remember the funny thing is,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the mound, you know, and all the you know, the infielders, you know how they all come to the mound. Yeah. I think he needed one more out, right? To qualify for a win.
Yeah, yeah.
But analytics before analytics. So we're standing at the mound, and, you know, Donaldson's our third baseman, and Josh has always voiced his opinion whether he liked it or not, right? And he said something stupid to me. And then so anyway, Price comes in and gets us out of that inning. I think he went a couple more, and then we ended up closing it out. And so so we go in the dugout, and then, you know, had to have a little conversation with Donaldson, blah, blah, blah. And, the big controversy was like, well, everybody said, well, you know, now we go to that fifth deciding game. You know, Price had pitched, you know, that Sunday.
Yeah,
Monday,
three innings, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody said it was like a conspiracy. You brought Price in because you didn't want to have to start him game five because he hadn't won a postseason start. He'd won, you know, he'd been really, you know, had some success out of the bullpen, but he had not had a win as a starter. So they said, everybody said, you brought him in there so you wouldn't have to pitch him. I said, no, we brought him in there because we needed a lefty, and he volunteered, and it was the right thing to do, I thought, right? So it was, that's how Stroman got that fifth start. You know, if it hadn't, it was probably going to be Price and, you know, of course, everybody on board, right?
Yeah, listen, I mean, you were proven right. So tell Donaldson to put that in his pipe and smoke it. So,
yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was funny that, you know, we had some stories later in the following year where Josh and I we always had that give and take, but, you know, you had to pin his ears back every now and then. But then another thing, the following year, Rob, in 16, you know, we go down, you know, we got to win a couple games in Boston that final weekend to even get in. So we had to win on the last game of the season. We get in to play that one game wild card against Baltimore, right? So the big conversation, since you brought up Stroman, was who are we going to pitch? Was it Liriano or Stroman? Liriano had always been tough on Baltimore. They had all those left-handed hitters and probably had better numbers. And so, you know, we're talking about it. It's got to be Stro, because, you know, Stro's always pitched big games for us. And Liriano, he could, as good as he was for us, he could always find those stretches where he got wild, right? And in one game, you know, do we want that or take that chance? So finally I said, you know what, you know who we're going to talk to? I'm going to ask our catcher, Russell Martin, you know, just to confirm. It's like, I went up to Russ and said, listen, game five, who do you pitch? He goes, Stroman, what are we thinking? And that kind of sealed the deal right there, right? You know, and then he went out and gave us a great effort in game five.
That's great.
The little things that people have no idea.
Oh,
you know?
No, but this is, I mean, I think what in that last, whatever you just said, all the things that make you, again, Operation 6826, that all the things that make like you a valuable manager is because you with a Dickey situation, you went with your gut. You have to have tough conversations with players. You relied on players to actually get their perspective on things. Like, all these things are important. So I'm just saying, I'm building you up here, but I'm.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. You know what? You know, Rob, to me, you know, it's just good common sense. You know, you say with your gut. You know, people say he manages with his gut. This and the different guys do this and that. No, I don't even think that's the way it is. You see how the game's developing. You know your guys.
Right.
Everybody just has different strategies, you know, every way they run things. I don't think I've ever seen a manager just goes out there and flips coins and puts it. They just view things different on who's available and
no, but your gut decisions are constructed by the information you have, whether it's analytics or whatever, right? So, by the way, I didn't even think of that until you mentioned it. That last, when you got into the playoffs the following year, 2016, I think you swept the Red Sox. So that was David Ortiz weekend. Do you remember this? It was the dumbest thing. One of my favorite guys of all time. But they did a 3-day event for David Ortiz, and it was just exhausting for everybody. It was the worst thing that you could have done. It was 3 days of celebration, and meanwhile, the players are dragging ass. You know, and you guys are taking advantage of it by sweeping them, and then they get swept by Cleveland right after that. So anyway, yeah.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's funny how things work out. You know, you know what's funny? You know what I was going to throw in there a while ago? We were talking about pitchers throwing or going in the sixth inning or just Stroman through 98 pitchers. You know, when I was with the Mets in '86. You know, before they came big comeback against your Red Sox again up there. But in Houston, to get to that game, you know, the game six, you know, they went 16 innings. Do you have any idea how many pitchers the Mets used?
How many?
Four.
16 really? Innings.
Yeah, it was a start. I think the starter was Ojeda, then Aguilera came in for, I don't know, a few. Then Roger McDowell went like four. Maybe he might have went five. And then Orozco went three or something. The Astros only used five, and that's 16 inning games. And so that just shows you the difference right there.
Oh, well, we just had Cone on, and I didn't realize this because I'm talking to Cone about, you know, what it's like to pitch in the postseason. I mean, this was in 1986. This is 1995. He threw 154 pitches.
Yeah.
154 pitches.
Now that's two starts for most guys.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. All right, man. Well, listen, you're one of the best. I appreciate it. I will. I'll be behind the curtain singing your praises.
Robbie, I always appreciate you, my friend. And, you know, we'll do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
And who knows? I may end up doing a podcast again myself. And you know who'll be on there? You.
Oh, well, you are.
Except anytime. I'm asking the questions.
Well. Hey, this isn't questions. This is this conversation.
Just
two guys sitting around talking the great game of baseball. So
exactly.
All right. Thanks, my
Robbie.
Friend.
My pleasure, pal.
All right.
It's the morning of the most important day of your life. You wake up refreshed and ready for your big day when you look in the mirror and see the zit to end all zits. Stay calm. Mighty Patch Pimple Patches absorb gunk in just 6 hours and shrink the look of blemishes in one use. Leave Mighty Patch on while finalizing florals and you've still got plenty of time for full glam. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.